Save big money when you shop at Menards. Transform your home in one weekend with exterior wood stain and sealer from Dutch Boy. It provides one coat protection on decks, fences, siding, and outdoor furniture. It repels rain after just 4 hours of application. That means quicker results, saving you both time and money. Our knowledgeable team is ready to help bring your dreams to life, 1 gallon at a time. Stop by your local Menards today.
Final hour on this Friday, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Good stuff so far on the show. Chris Johnson being inducted into the Ring of Honor.
Phenomenal.
Great news this morning. That will happen week one, September 13th against the Jets. Big news yesterday that I wanted to lead off the final hour with: the Nashville Predators. Schedule is out for the 2026-27 season, along with the rest of the NHL. Got to give credit to the Nashville Predators social media team.
It was good.
What a release video yesterday.
It was good. Maybe, I mean, if, again, we say the same thing for the Titans. If dynasties were built off of
schedule release videos,
I think we would be the city to beat.
Yeah, Nashville would be like Bill Russell with the rings all over it. I mean, just so well done, leading with the – because for a franchise, when you get made fun of, right, like the SNL skit, the Preds in the Community skit, and that was viral for a while – you can either dodge it completely or you can lean into it. And I like that led off the video. They leaned into it.
But they didn't try too hard with it.
Right. I thought, and it was quick. The Vange commercials with the cologne were great.
That was perfect.
Now That's What I Call Music A was awesome.
I ended up going back and pausing it
just
to read the musical titles.
So good.
The best one was the Toronto Maple Leafs was something about receding.
And yeah.
It was an Austin Matthews hit.
Right. What was the Oilers one was We Know How This Ends or something like that. No, it was super well done. Credit to the Predators social media team.
My favorite was still the ghost hunting part.
The ghost hunting. Yeah, that one was good.
Storage Wars one was pretty
storage
good.
Wars was
storage
good.
Wars.
The Vegas.
The Vegas. This is worthless. The cops one where they found the Red Wings guy trying to throw a squid onto the ice was good.
Yeah. There was the
Top Shelf.
Yeah, Top Shelf, which was great.
No, and that's not easy to do, to come up with all those ideas and make it look natural together. I thought it was great.
And it felt like a schedule release, unlike what some of these teams in the NFL do.
Right.
Where
they just make a skit or a video.
Was it the Raiders did the whole Step Brothers thing?
Right.
And then at the end, they put their schedule.
Right. They just put like a graphic of the schedule at the end. And that's what I was worried when they did the Preds in the Community thing. I was like, is this going to just be like a skit and then they'll put the schedule at the end? But they did a great job of actually incorporating the schedule into it throughout the video. So well done to the Preds social media team. I think they won schedule release. I haven't seen any other ones, right?
I mean, this one's pretty viral.
Maybe it's just because we're like insulated in the Nashville community and we would see that, but it's not like I'm seeing the Lightning or the Wilds video anywhere. I feel like the Preds one has done pretty well.
Yesterday, so Florida posted every single one of their games in a separate tweet. So like each tweet had each game.
It was 84 tweets?
All 84 tweets, yeah. And I think Chase is the one that brought up yesterday on the show, but Greg Wyshynski quote to you, he goes, "This is just absolutely wicked that you're doing this." Like I would never. Like that is crazy.
Someone was tasked with that job.
Yeah, you're
going to
send 84 tweets in 30 minutes. Crazy. But the Predators' schedule is out. Pretty balanced early on. You start at home, not easy games. Minnesota, Dallas. Then you go on a Canadian road trip at Toronto, at Montreal, Ottawa. But there's no significantly long road trips until you get into November. This is a really crucial start to the season, especially for Andrew Brunette. They've gotten off to slow starts each of the last 2 years that has put them in a hole. They tried to dig out of it last year and couldn't. For Andrew Brunette, the leash isn't going to be super long. So if he wants to keep his job and get this team back into being a playoff contender, you got to start strong. There's an opportunity to do that, but you know, obviously those first two games are going to be tough here at home against Minnesota and Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, there's no loyalty to him from Chris McFarland.
Right. He said that he wants to see how he goes through training camp and how he starts the season, yeah. But, like, that could end very quickly.
He doesn't have the benefit of the doubt that Barry Trotz was giving him. And that's no one's fault. That's just how it is when you get a new GM and retain the same coach. It's kind of like in a roundabout way, Mike Morganzi getting the GM job and seeing what Brian Callahan can do. But
right.
When things went really, really south really quickly, guess who was out the door? Brian Callahan.
Yeah, he wasn't his guy. And right. Andrew Burnett is not Chris McFarland's guy.
So I think it's fair to expect a short leash. That said, you have a balanced schedule. Again, not easy games at home, but you have a home crowd. We all know how impactful the crowd is here in Smashville for the Preds.
Yep.
So it's balanced. So I expect you come away with some points pretty early on. But that's kind of the knock on the Andrew Burnett era in Nashville is slow starts. Last year, up into the, was it Prague?
Yeah, Stockholm, right?
Stockholm. Yeah, Sweden. Prague was the year before. Up into Sweden, there was talk that Andrew Burnett won't make it off the plane coming back from that trip. And then they started to string things together, went on a run, and got back into the wild card picture. The year before that, arguably the worst start in franchise
history.
Yeah,
I mean, and you were the third worst team in the league throughout the entire season.
So he's got to avoid that this year. He's got to start off, I don't want to say scorching hot, but you have a balanced schedule. I expect some points to come out of that pretty quickly.
Yep. Yep, and that's – I think Chris McFarland probably has done his due diligence on other candidates who could be out there. I know we've talked a ton about why I'm completely blanking on Bednar, the Avalanche head coach. Like, there's been a lot of conversation of could he be kind of waiting it out to see if they run out of patience with him in Colorado. So I'm sure that is on Chris McFarland's mind of – if they got off to a slow start, I've got no loyalty to Andrew Burnett. Now, I'm going to give him a chance to go out and prove himself, but that doesn't mean that if you get to November and this team is where it was at the beginning of November last year, that he's not going to make a move. Sean asks, has the NHL increased from 82 to 84 games? Yes, they have.
Unfortunately, yes.
So it's going to start a little bit earlier this year. October 1st is opening night for the Preds against the Wild. Can I just say, though, I'm so glad it's going to be on over-the-air television.
Oh.
On the spot. Like,
I probably won't watch every single game, but I'll get to watch a ton.
Right. It makes it so much easier. And not that it was like difficult to find FanDuel. Like, if you knew where to find it, like, you could do it. But
well, I didn't have it.
Right. You had to go pay for it or, you know, I did not like that it was on FanDuel. I am so glad it's on the spot now. You know where to find it. You can find it easily. And I will be right. I will definitely watch way more Preds games this year than I did last year.
I hope it's on YouTube TV at least.
Yeah, that's for me too. Yeah, that's what I have.
Let's hope.
Maybe just get an antenna or something.
You read my mind, Jake. There you go. There you go.
But even then, I mean, it's a lot easier access to find it than it would have been for FanDuel.
Right. I mean, I guess, but they said they are coming up with some sort of streaming ability, too.
Okay.
So, like, I guess wait for more information there. But just having it on over-the-air television, it's so simple. And I know it's all money-driven, right? Like, these regional sports networks need to have stuff that they can sell. But if you're not growing your fan base, it's not helping your team. And I think the Preds made a look and said, and we've heard Sean Henry talk about this, he hated his hearing fans saying they don't know where to find the games. You're going to grow your fan base by making these games more accessible. The NFL is great because, at least on Sundays, all their games are on over-the-air television. So you can go and find the game that's in your market. And if you're a Titans fan, the Titans game is always going to be on TV for you, and you can go watch it. Same thing should be for the Preds, and I think it's just a great step forward.
I mean, it works. I think there are teams across the NHL that have done it, and it has been successful.
Yep.
And the comparison I use is Major League Baseball because, you know, look at what the Braves have done with Braves Vision.
Yeah.
The Cardinals have it. The Reds have it. You pay, I think it's like $100 for the season or something like that, and you get every single game unless it's on, like, national television.
Yep.
And it's blacked out in your area, which is a frustration I've seen a lot of Braves fans have, and I share that frustration. But, you see, I can't get Cardinals Vision or whatever individually because it's blocked out in the viewing area.
Interesting.
So
well, yeah. So like,
so if I wanted to, I would have to get MLB TV, which is more money than I'm willing to spend. You wouldn't
be able to watch Cardinals games on MLB TV either.
I think you would.
Aren't we with the ESPN Unlimited package?
Oh,
that's what's causing the issue.
So. Aren't we in, like, a crossover of Cardinals, Braves, Reds? Like, all those games are blacked out here?
For the most part, yeah. I mean, on TV, if you have, like, cable television, it goes Braves baseball and Braves vision, and you have Reds baseball on, like, their little Reds TV network.
I don't think they have blackouts,
though. Are we in the Cardinals viewing area, though?
No.
Okay, then, yeah, MLB TV would work for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
But for some reason, because the whole MLB TV and ESPN Unlimited combo, when you go have that extra $30 a month,
gotcha.
It messes with the subscription.
Yeah, so. They've made it more, just like we were saying, they've made it more complicated than it needs to be.
Yeah.
The Preds have simplified it, and I think it's just a great step forward. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We will take your thoughts on the Preds schedule, anything Predators, in fact. We'll get into some other stuff as well throughout the last hour, make some predictions coming up at 11:30. Today, the Nashville Sounds back in action after the All-Star break. They take on the Norfolk Tides, the AAA affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles. First pitch is at 6:35, and you can catch all of the action with Jeff Hem on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Maple Street Biscuit Company, and Social Cantina.
Jeff calling a Norfolk series. Look at that.
Yeah, at home, though.
Okay.
It's here. I'm calling a couple games next week. So
nice.
I'm excited for that.
Here?
No, on the road.
In Norfolk?
Not in Norfolk. We'll talk about it during the break. 615-737-1025. Jay Kleiman, Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, next man up. 1025 The Game. 1025 The Game and Borchetta Bourbon present True American Racer, the Bobby Rahal story tonight at the Franklin Theater. Celebrate the career of an Indy 500 champion with rare footage and a live Q&A featuring racing legends. Get tickets now at franklintheater.com. Jay Kleiman, Connor Newt, Nick Frazier.
All right, full count. I'm ABS challenging to make sure it's a strike. What is this?
Evacuate the dance floor. Cascada.
Okay.
Oh, we'll give you that.
All right,
we'll
give you that.
Diving catch in right field to keep the perfect
game. That's a punch out right there.
Thank you.
So I hate giving the NFL top 100 air because it doesn't deserve it.
They don't want it.
So
that's why they're on Instagram.
Yesterday, the top 10 safeties came out. You know who was number one? It was Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah.
Kevin Byard was not on the list. He was not even honorable mention. He was receiving votes. So like 18th to 20th best safety in the league. The NFL top 100 has Kevin Byard as the 61st best player and Kyle Hamilton is the 63rd best player. So it's just like, I mean,
it means absolutely
nothing. It's so pointless. That is all the air I'm giving it today. I just saw that. Now, and nothing against Kevin Byard because he probably should have been higher on that safeties list, by the way.
He led the league in interceptions.
Yes. But is he the 61st best player in the league right now? Probably not.
Nope.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We were talking Preds. I am wondering, like, Chris McFarland did hint around free agency that there was going to be some attrition with this roster. Like, they brought in so many forwards, and there haven't been, outside of LaRue and Svechkov being shipped off in the Jack Drury trade, there hasn't been a whole lot of movement. I'm wondering when that's going to happen. The NHL in general has gone dead over the past week or so, which I guess is what typically happens after the 4th of July. But I am interested to see, are they going to start moving some pieces? Jonathan Marchessault, maybe some of the other young guys who haven't blossomed into NHL players, because right now it is a logjam up front, especially in the bottom six.
Well, according to league rules, they have to. They're three over the roster limit.
Right.
So they're going to have to move. You're right. Forwards especially. They're going to have to look to move off of. Marchessault, I think, is the one everyone wants to see. Just because we've talked about it before. Hasn't worked. It doesn't make sense to keep him around. And he has the no move clause. So he doesn't have to leave if he doesn't want to.
Right.
But I think both sides would benefit immensely from a change of scenery. So he's the one that comes to mind for me. I wonder about guys like Ozzie Weisblatt.
Right.
Or guys like that have been around the system and just haven't, kind of like you mentioned, haven't flourished into the player you were hoping to be. Like, Ozzie Weisblatt's an okay player. He's kind of an enforcer of some roundabout way. But
right.
Does Ozzie Weisblatt move the needle on if you're a cup contender or not? I don't think so. So I wonder if that's a guy they need to be looking at. You know, they're kind of just replacing the old with the guys McFarland's familiar with. That's why you bring in Colton. It's why you bring in Drury. It's why you bring in Kerfoot. It makes sense. So, I don't know. They're going to have to make moves. It's important that they do because, you know, you got to have enough guys on your roster to play an NHL season.
Yeah.
It's going to happen soon. It is kind of confusing that the NHL's gone silent. It's across the league. It's not just the press.
Right. I mean, maybe these will come closer to training camp, but you added six guys either through trade or free agency that maybe Edstrom isn't going to be on the team. But, like, the other five, Bork, of course, is probably going to be your second-line center. He said that he thinks he's going to play more center this year. Colton's going to be in your bottom six. Drury's going to be in your middle six. Hoglander, I think, is in your bottom six. Kerfoot. So you've added all those guys, and I look at the roster. There are 14 forwards listed, but that doesn't include what are you going to do with Brady Martin. It doesn't include Joachim Kemmel. It doesn't include Vitaly Pinchuk, who you just signed from Russia, who's expected to be in your bottom six. So something you've got to move somebody. And I think Weisblad is a good example. I think Marchessault is going to be gone. I think that's got to be something that they're working on.
Yeah, it's got to be for sure. Man, it's tough call because I think a lot of them are close in talent to what you already have. Money, I think, will be a factor. And
yeah,
you know, if you're cutting guys like Ozzy Weisblatt, then that's not super expensive. But Jonathan Marchessault is a pretty significant contract. So if you can
find someone, $5 million that, somewhere on there?
Yeah.
$5.5 million?
Find someone to take that, then you're smooth sailing. But it is interesting. I do think there's definitely going to be some movement. There's going to have to be. I think Marchessault's gone, especially with a new GM that has no attachment to him.
I don't
think he wants to inherit a contract of a player that doesn't fit a system. Yeah, well, then again, you could change the system. Get rid of the coach.
You've kept Brunette, so I think you've chosen a side on that, and I think Marchessault is probably gone. McFarland also did say they would like to add more on the blue line, and the only addition they've made is Lyubushkin, who was kind of just a contract throwaway in the Maverick Bork trade. So your blue line still looks the same as it did last year. You're going to have Josi, you're going to have Shea, Perbix, Haig, Barron, Willsby, Ufko, maybe Molendijk. I do wonder if maybe the move you make would be Marchessault, like a swap of NHLers. Like, could you trade Marchessault to go get somebody who can contribute on your D pairs right now? Yeah. I don't know.
I would prefer that. I mean, picks are great and fun and everything.
But you got a lot of picks. You got a lot of prospects.
Yeah, I think you're good on that department. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying you got to go out and package a thing together to go get,
I don't even know who would be available right now. But you're not
going to package anything together and get Cale Makar.
I'm
not saying do that. But, you know, find a willing trade partner, a capable defenseman. Send him Marchessault and see if you can get something back in return.
Yeah, I think you'd like to upgrade your defense because you don't know what the young guys are going to be. Ufko showed some flashes when he was up, but is he going to be a guy who can be an everyday player for you throughout an 84-game season? I don't know. Molendijk hasn't taken that step to be an NHL player yet. So that's my wonder is, are they going to start shipping off some forwards to maybe add some defensemen before training camp rolls up in a couple of months here?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting storyline to watch. It's kind of like a football training camp. You're kind of looking at the roster, and guys at the bottom are kind of making strides to see if they can make the roster, and the other guys at the bottom are guys that aren't delivering. So it's all in perspective. Ultimately, our perspective doesn't matter. It's the perspective of the guys in charge.
Right
there. So.
Right. Chris McFarland, I'm sure he has a plan, but it is just strange that,
I'm sure he won't tell us
about
it.
There was a flurry of moves, and things have gone silent. We'll see if anything comes up in the next couple of weeks.
It is funny how different McFarland and Trotz are.
I know.
Like, Trotz would tell you everything.
Right. He was an open book.
And then McFarland plays it so close to the vest.
Yep.
That we're going to crack that code at some point, and there will be isms that we pick up on. And
right. No, you,
that's what he means. But
you do that with all coaches and front office guys. It's like you start to find their tendencies and, oh, when he says this, he means this. Yeah. But yeah, it is a nice contrast between him and Barry Trotz.
It's pretty funny. It's kind of like in football when, you know, you fire the hard ass.
Right. You went from Vrabel to Callahan.
And you hire the nice guy.
Yeah. Before we wrap up this segment, because we're going to do some Monday headlines coming up in the next one, Dr. Crane, wanted to get a quick word from you. Nashville SC back in action tonight, hosting Atlanta after a long break for the World Cup. Do we think this team going to get right back to where they were, top team in the MLS before the international break?
I think they'll struggle a little bit out of the gate, but hopefully they get, you know, their feet under them. Obviously, Eddie Tagg, Seth Patrick, Yazbek, Andy Nahar, those are all still, you know, injuries that are, you know, over the heads of all the fans.
Yeah.
It was made yesterday. BJ Callahan said that Sam Surge will be available and is fully healthy, so that's a good thing from Valer Shabilla on his Twitter. One more other thing, they added Elias Saad, a Tanzanian forward. A winger in that case. 6'1", about 170-ish, I think, or something like that. I can look at the number. It might be a little bit lighter than that. But that's another depth piece up top, which you kind of need. I think more midfield depth is what's needed right now, but we'll get there eventually, I think.
Yeah, and Nashville SC, again, top team in the MLS. They come back from the international break, back-to-back home games tonight against Atlanta and then Wednesday against Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
So opportunities to go out and see this team at Geodis Park. I'm excited to get out there at some point. I think World Cup play has gotten the city, but the nation a little bit more interested in soccer. So, and this is a good team. They deserve some support.
And you can get free tickets, too. And it's like, you know, they have that little promotion going
right
on.
I have them.
Going to your first game.
I have that. I'm waiting to see what games I can use them on because I would really like to go see Messi play. But I don't know if they're going to offer
it
on that.
Maybe not. I think it would be select games, right?
Probably.
I can't go tonight and I can't go Wednesday. But the next time they're in town, I think I might try and go.
And the Boys in Gold did get their U.S. Open Cup ring. That looks pretty cool.
Oh, awesome.
It has like a magnetic top to it.
I saw it this morning.
Yeah.
Send Dr. Crane one.
Yeah.
I think that is in the works.
Wow. I can't wait. I can't wait to see. You got to wear that every single day.
Take it to the local church and get it blessed.
Not a bad idea.
I think it's a great idea.
Connor knew with the knowledge.
There you go. There you go.
this is such a non sequitur thing.
Tangent. There you go.
Yeah. As I'm scrolling lately, I keep getting POV, do you know this Catholic banger? And it's like songs that you heard every day in Catholic church.
In the homily?
Yeah. It's like all the music and stuff. And I was like, I know all these words.
That's so
I could
funny.
Sing every. I'll find them during the break, I promise. Catholic bangers.
615. Do we need to make that Catholic Banger Friday? Is that.
You know, maybe.
I don't know if that's a good
I don't
idea.
Think that,
it's probably not a good idea.
I would appreciate it. Well, a little praise and worship.
You know what? We'll save that for the Sunday show. How
sure.
about that?
Yeah,
the Sunday
that works.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Nashville SC back on the pitch at Geodis Park tonight against Atlanta. Coming up next, we'll make some predictions. What's going to happen this weekend? Our Monday headlines after this. Jake Lyman, Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, next man up, 1025 The Game. What do we think? Lady Gaga?
This is a good one.
It's a good one. All right. He's through eight.
He's through eight. You got to play like, don't play it, but in your head when you come out for this next segment, be like Mason Miller and play his song and his entrance. Coming up to the mound. Well, we're not taking you out. You're going in, but.
You're going to get a standing O at the next one.
Thank you.
St. Louis standing O.
Next man up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, Connor Newton, Nick Frazier. We got a couple more segments left on this Friday, which means it's time to do some predictions. We're always wrong, but we still try and predict what we're going to be talking about on Monday on our Monday headlines.
Hold on. There is a little bit of breaking bread news.
Oh?
Jeff Kelty is out of the franchise.
Interesting. Didn't he say that he was planning on sticking around?
He has been... I don't know if he was relieved of duties or if he's voluntarily stepping out, but Chris McFarland has released a statement.
Yeah, here was the statement. On behalf of the Predators organization, I want to thank Jeff Kelty for his 25 years of contributions to our franchise, including the last 8 as assistant general manager. Jeff made a considerable impact on the Predators, spending countless hours traveling the world to find the next talented player or fan favorite to add to our roster, either at the draft, in a trade, or through free agency. As I stepped into my new role here, I appreciated his leadership and support while we navigated last month's NHL draft. We wish Jeff and his family all the best with their next chapter in San Jose.
So I guess he's moving on to San Jose.
Yeah, he's assistant GM at San Jose now.
Okay. Gotcha. Yep, there you go. Announced 4 minutes ago. The Sharks have announced that they have hired Jeff Kelty as assistant general manager. So thank you to Jeff Kelty. I know he was a friend of the show, or a friend of the station, had been on with Robbie and Rex, wrote a decent amount. So congratulations on his next step. Definitely a big part of the Predators' history.
Very much so.
Over the last quarter century. So, man, we were just saying we didn't have a whole lot of breaking Preds news.
We've got a lot of breaking Nashville news in general today.
Yeah.
Chris Johnson.
Yep, Chris Johnson going into the Ring of Honor, if you missed it.
Jeff Kelty.
Week one. Yeah.
Pete Nakos is an idiot and thinks Blaze Berlowitz will be the starter of Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I saw that. We got SEC Media Days coming up next week. You know, Clark Lee, I'm sure that is going to be a question he has asked plenty about the quarterback competition. Which,
I don't think he'll give an answer.
No, and I think he's going to give both those guys an opportunity in fall camp to go prove it. But
if it's close, you go Curtis.
Right. If Jared Curtis is close to where you need him to be, you have Austin Peay, you have Delaware the first couple of weeks for him to settle in. I agree, you'd probably go Curtis. But we'll see. Fall camp getting underway somewhat shortly. So we'll see how that goes. All right, let's make some predictions. Monday headlines. Where are you going, Connor? What are you predicting?
I mean, this might not be a super bold prediction, but it is for me because I know literally nothing about golf. The Open is going on right now.
Yeah.
And Bryson DeChambeau is looking to avoid the Bryson Slam, where he just misses the cut in all of them.
Yep.
I think he makes it. I think he makes the cut in the British Open.
He is 3 under through 8 today, so he's above the cut line right now. We will have to see how that goes. All right, I like that. You know, third time's a charm. I've done this each of the last two majors, and I've been wrong both times. In fact, I think he's kind of gone up in flames ever since I said it. Ludvig Åberg is finally going to do it. He's going to win a major at some point, so I'm just going to keep on picking him to win it until he does. He's 4 under today. He's 5 back of Lucas Herbert, who shot a 62. Two 62s today, by the way, tying the major championship record. Ludvig Åberg is finally going to get it done. Give me Åberg finally getting his first major championship.
Is this the last major of the season?
Yes, it is.
Okay. What's going on with Scotty right now?
Scotty's always in it.
I saw him say we're all going to die.
Yeah, he missed his first cut in a long time last week, right? At the Scottish Open.
Yeah.
So he missed the cut, but he's still top 10 right now at the British Open. What's your prediction for the weekend?
I'm actually sticking with the Open myself.
Okay, well, I'll make an Open picks.
Cam Young is going to win the Open Championship.
All right, he's in it right now. He's 2 back of Herbert. He shot 67-67, so there you go. I like it. I like it.
12-year-old thinks you're the funniest human alive right now.
Cam, 6-7, 6-7?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's make other ones. Are we all going to go World Cup here? Do we just make World Cup picks? I feel like this may, unless you guys want to go MLB. Because that's really the only other things going on.
I was going to go World Cup. Well, I think we should just make that one mandatory.
Okay, mandatory. Pick who's your World Cup champion. I'm sticking.
We have to.
I'm going Spain. You going Argentina?
I'll go Messi.
All right, break the tie here. Our soccer expert, Nick Frazier.
I am going with Spain to win.
Messi to score.
2-1.
Lamine Yamal. Going to get it done.
Or if not, 1-1, and it ends in penalties.
Do you think Lamine Yamal will come to the MLS?
Lamine Yamal's one of those top players, man. I can't get enough of him.
I really hope people aren't taking us seriously saying that.
If Tim Ream was out on the pitch on Sunday, I don't think there would be any getting by him.
U.S. fans are just thrilled that he's still going to be in his prime at 42 in the next World Cup.
I mean, he plays in the League of Leagues. The MLS.
Yeah, did you see that Boppy lost on purpose on Tuesday so he could go play in the MLS?
This is true.
I saw this somewhere.
I love how they call him Boppy.
Soccer fans, if they just tuned in and have never listened to us talk about this before, are probably like, these guys are idiots.
I get them all the time now.
I know. They literally, it's like every other reel. I feel like they have 8 different accounts because sometimes I'll see the same one over and over. Anyway.
And all the comments, I mean, all the angry Europeans, I think, have started to figure it out.
That it's fake, yeah. I'm going Lamine Yamal and Spain to get the win in the World Cup final on Sunday.
I mean, we're going to have an MLS World Cup champion.
Right.
And Leo Messi.
Yeah.
Further solidifying that Major League Soccer is the
greatest
top league.
The greatest league in the world. Who do we got in the third place game? England, France. I'll go France.
In the battle of do they care? Yeah, I'll duel you today. I'll go England.
Okay.
I'm going with France because if England loses third place and Argentina loses the World Cup, Inter Miami, you better watch out for them in MLS because David Beckham's upset. Lionel Messi's upset. That's a force you don't want to just mess with at all.
No.
I'm excited. It's what, 2 o'clock on Sunday is the World Cup final? Yeah. So
that
would
be
great.
An all-time uniform matchup, too.
Yes, I saw. So, yeah, Argentina's wearing the traditional light blue with white stripes, and then Spain's got the reds. Oh, it's going to be beautiful.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be beautiful. And going to be a ton of fun. I mean, the Argentinians, I think they have an argument that their four knockout games are like four of the top five games in the entire tournament.
Yeah.
The Cape Verde thriller in the round of 32, the comeback against Egypt.
It is funny. I mean, the England game, it was the story of the team who always finds a way to win no matter what versus the team that always finds a way to lose.
That is very true. And, yeah, England fans were devastated. Do I feel bad for them? Absolutely not.
The England Bills. They always find a heartbreaking way to lose.
Yes, they do. 615-737-1025. We'll take any predictions that you have for the weekend. We will wrap up the show coming up next. Jake Lyman, Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, next man up. 1025 The Game.
Can't go wrong with Kesha.
Yep, no, that's a good one.
That is a perfect
game.
Yeah,
Kesha closes it out. Well done. Nick Frazier filling in on White Girl Friday makes it happen.
And some locality there. Brentwood Academy graduate.
Lived in my neighborhood.
Really? I did not know that. Mm-hmm. I did not know that. I just remember her from her guest appearance on Victoria's.
Brentwood High School.
Yeah, Brentwood High School. Yeah.
Okay, not BA.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Close.
Lived in my neighborhood for a while.
Really?
Yeah, her mom and dad, and I think her brother as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know who my famous neighbor was? Not famous, but you'll know who it is. Derek Morgan.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, he TD talks about him all the time with his protocol out in Germantown.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He does that now, doesn't he?
So, yeah. Shout out Derek Morgan. Him and Rack were a good tandem for a couple
underrated.
Of years there.
Yeah. I liked Derek.
Yeah, Derek Morgan, when you look through the Titans' first-round picks of the last two decades, he stands up towards the top.
Which is a low bar.
Right.
But congrats.
Right. Wrapping up the show on this Friday, again, congratulations, Chris Johnson, going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, and very glad that it's happening as soon as possible. So that will happen on week one, September 13th, against the Jets at home. Well-deserved and excited for it. Also, news in the last few minutes, Jeff Kelty taking a job as the assistant GM in San Jose, leaving the Predators after 25 years in Nashville. So congratulations to him on the new step, and thank you for everything he did for the franchise. Before we wrap up here, next week going to be fun, SEC Media Days. I'm excited. It's always one of the most fun weeks of the year. You get all the coaches, all the players in one place. It's in Tampa, which is disappointing. Like,
yeah.
I liked having it closer.
I want to go. I just want to go.
I went last year just for the Vandy Day, and it was fun. I mean, you walk around, it's just like...
Well, it was in the College Football Hall of Fame.
Right, it was
year.
In the College Football Hall of Fame, so it was cool to get to see all of the exhibits, and they've got the helmet wall there with all the helmets of every college football team.
I would stare at it for hours.
And it's like you circle around. It's a who's who of coaches and players and you know, I got to see Shane Beamer because South Carolina had the morning session and Vandy was the afternoon session. It was really cool. And, you know, it being in Tampa, I'm not going to fly to Tampa for that. But
I mean, it's fun. SEC Media Days, you don't really learn anything.
Yeah.
Like, it's not really necessary, but it is fun to get everyone in the same boat. And it's really, for me, it's the start of, oh my God, college football is coming back soon.
Right. It starts to feel like football season again.
Yeah.
Let's see. So the schedule for this week, Monday, it will be Kentucky, Missouri, Oklahoma, Tennessee. So Monday actually will be a pretty big day with Kentucky and Tennessee both there. Josh Heupel taking the podium. Tuesday, Auburn, Georgia, South Carolina, Vanderbilt. So both the local teams knocked out early in the week. And Clark Lee going. It's Junior Sherrill, Cedric Alexander, and Issa Wataha who are going for Vandy. For Tennessee, it is Arian Carter, Jake Thielander, and I'm blanking on, is it Deshaun Bishop?
I think so.
That sounds right.
Neither one bringing quarterbacks, which makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you don't bring a true freshman. And, like, Blaze Berlowitz or George McIntyre. If you're not sure they're going to be the starting quarterback, they probably shouldn't go. So excited for that. Wednesday will be Alabama, Florida, Ole Miss, A&M. Missed opportunity by the SEC to put Ole Miss and LSU together. But Thursday will be Arkansas, LSU, Mississippi State, and Texas.
And then Friday, everyone goes to the beach.
Yep. Yep. And gears up for
season. Will we see any Paul Feinbaum hits with Joe Rexroad on the beach again?
Not this. Well, maybe in Tampa.
That was a spectacle.
That was so funny. Yeah, you know, just sun setting behind them in the back. Or was it rising? I don't know. In the background.
Yeah.
It was going down. Okay, yeah. It was funny. Yeah. Dr. Crane giving us some help from behind the glass.
What is going on Get Up right now? Oh, Brady got dunked in cane sauce. Or Gronk did.
That's my dream.
I expect nothing less from Rob Gronkowski. Yeah.
Yeah, SEC Media Days will be fun. ACC Media Days ending down in Charlotte today. Clemson has been a pretty big story down there. James Franklin, Virginia Tech, Miami. So it's always fun when we get closer to football season. SEC Media Days next week, and then the Big Ten will wrap things up in the final week of July. I also wanted to mention, I wanted to say this earlier in the show. Have you seen the early reviews of The Odyssey coming out?
I heard it is fantastic.
The early reviews are, this is Christopher Nolan's best movie, which is... we talk about low bar for Titans first round draft picks. It's a high bar for Christopher Nolan movies.
Can I give you a Christopher Nolan hot take? Not an Inception guy.
Okay. I like Inception, but it's not the movie that I would have been upset about.
Now everything else, like the Batman movies are great.
Yeah, the Dark Knight trilogy is elite.
I liked Dunkirk a lot.
Dunkirk's good. Interstellar.
Interstellar
phenomenal
was awesome.
Movie.
Oppenheimer was good.
Yep. The Prestige.
Yep, that one was good.
Like, yeah.
Interstellar.
Interstellar's great. You know what one I just watched for the first time? Tenet. Have you ever seen Tenet?
I didn't like it.
It didn't
make sense.
It's confusing. Like, it is one of those movies that it's not a casual watch in the background. Like, you've got to be locked in, and then it's also going to just confuse you on how any of this is happening. Yeah. Like, it is mind-bending.
I watched that one when it came out because I think it came out right as the pandemic was starting.
Yeah, I want to say that was his last movie before Oppenheimer.
It was, yeah.
So it was good, very entertaining, but it was just so hard to understand all of the different weaving timelines that are going on. If you've seen the movie, you would understand what that means. But that one was good. I'm excited, though, because in terms of reviews, The Odyssey has gotten the best critics' reviews, and I saw a bunch of people who on Twitter who saw it last night, and they said it is their favorite Nolan movie.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, I think you gotta let movies breathe. I remember walking out of The Last Jedi when it came out and thinking it was so good.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this one might be up there with like some of the better Star Wars movies. And then I went and saw it again with my family because they wanted to see it over Christmas. So I saw it again, and I walked out of the theater the second time. I was like, that movie actually kind of sucked. and so I do think that sometimes the enormity of going on opening night, watching the movie, if you saw it in the IMAX, like the 70mm as it was filmed, like that's it might just be overwhelming. But I have heard that it is great, so I'm excited to see it.
It's not really one I'm worried about. I mean, I don't want to be spoiled, but... I mean, I read the book in high school.
Right.
And you kind of know the story at this point.
Right. I don't think they're... Spoilers for movies that are based on something, like, I just feel like there's not a whole lot. Like,
that's like when people are saying, don't spoil Quarterback for me. I was like, I already know what happens.
Right. And it's like the little nuggets and clips from Quarterback, like, it doesn't really spoil anything.
I'm not saying
you
text me the entire plot and everything that happens. But, you know, I'm not going to be... heartbroken.
No,
when
I'm
I learned
with you.
Odysseus cuts the Cyclops' eye.
Oh, right.
That's
it's
what
like, yeah, right. Like it's one of the oldest pieces of fiction in the world. Like if you don't know the gist of the story, then it's on you at that point. But no, I am excited to see it. I agree with you though. I'm not worried about spoilers, so like I'm fine waiting.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I was thinking about going tomorrow because my dad's out of town and there's nothing to do. But
yeah,
it's gonna be so packed.
Right.
I don't know if I really want to deal with that.
Yeah, and honestly, so I don't know if it would... I don't do the Regal Unlimited or whatever it is, or the AMC. Yeah. I used to do it a little bit. If I did, I might wait and do, if you want to spend 7 hours in a movie theater, you could go do the Odyssey and Spider-Man, the Tom Holland double feature.
Yeah. The cast for the Odyssey is,
it's crazy.
Like, I love Matt Damon. I think he's a great
Anne
actor.
Anne Hathaway, Robert Pattinson.
He's great. Which we're getting a new Batman in
2028. Yeah. Yeah. So, no, excited to see it. Great rave reviews so far for The Odyssey. Guys, it's been a fun show.
Very fun.
Appreciate you both coming in. We will talk next week. Tune in for Weekend Huddle tomorrow?
Think so.
Yeah. Tomorrow. 9 a.m. They're back. That'll do it for us. Keep it tuned right here. Chase and Big Joe coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.